Now it's time for Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law, the world's number one source for everything cannabis. Our special guest today, Jim Jones, letting you know what Saucy is all about.
Well, hello, and welcome to Cannabis Talk 101.
Your brother's having the longest anniversary time that I've ever seen in my life. That guy has
still
four
not here.
Anniversary days. You guys, I can't make it to this one. I can't make it to that one.
How many anniversary events you got to go to?
Five.
Who is he?
Who is that guy?
First, Mark's gone forever. Now, Craig.
Well, at least Blue's here.
And that's all that matters, because you know what, Blue? What was the first dispensary that you started, and how hard was it to get it open?
Legal one.
It was a long time ago. Yeah, I'll allegedly talk about it. I'm not too afraid. It's called Village Flora.
That's the first one?
Yeah, and it's a funny story, actually. I'll share it with you briefly, if that's okay, Joe.
I would love to hear.
Well, thank you.
A lot of cats don't realize your, historical game that, you've been selling weed for a long time, folks.
For a long time.
From the womb.
Literally.
So
we were doing like the old, hockey bag deal. You know what I mean? We do hockey bags.
Oh, those big hockey bags.
Yeah. But it was funny because my buddy was a little taller than me, and he was like he would always carry the bags for me. You know, I got them. I was like, okay, cool. So we'd walk around and he'd have two big hockey bags, full of whatever. And we'd be throwing them in these beautiful cars and stuff.
How much weight in each bag?
And the story was that, he was a hockey player from Canada. because everybody knew he wouldn't be, it's like, what team you play? Oh, for the Kings. Oh, what's your name? It's like, oh no, but if you're from Canada, it's kind of like,
all good.
Yeah. Internet wasn't hot as it is. It's not as, searchable on your phones as it is. We're talking,
before all that was out. Yeah. All at your fingertips.
Sure. And it was, but not like it is now. Right. I mean, you still had a flip phone.
Now it's right there.
So we were in that space. And then, this random guy, and his name's Blue Michael Garner. I ain't seen him forever.
Did you take his name from
No, his okay. real name was Blue Michael Garner. And
allegedly my name.
No. And so Blue.
Well, Blue Michael, right?
Yeah, no. And it was random because he comes into me and he, he kind of, he had some issues, with drugs and stuff like that. And I didn't know that at the time, but found out.
My type of issues that I used to
have? Yeah. He loved some pills and stuff. And this is before I really knew what OxyContin was. I was like,
ooh, that oxy's no joke.
Yeah, and he actually tricked me into taking one time. I took one in my entire life. I've taken,
and I ran through a wall. I didn't feel a damn thing.
and I took a half of one, and I thought, he was like, oh, it'll make you feel good, blah blah blah. Dude, I took a half of one. I was throwing up, dude, crawling on the floor, going, God, what did I? I wanted to kill this guy. I was like, I'm gonna kill this dude. Because I thought it was a prescription. I was kind of younger, and I just thought, oh, this is gonna be, it's probably a real mild, drug or whatever, but the day my back was hurting bad, and he kept saying, oh, it's gonna help your back, and I was like, shit, dude, this thing took me on a loop. So if you never tried that, don't ever try it. If you could avoid ever trying, opioids, man, really try to avoid it. But Blue's sitting there talking to me, and he's like, we should open up a dispensary at your studio. And I'm like, I was like, nah, hell no. I was like, we're going to open a dispensary, open it down the street because it's not going to, I don't
want to tie it into my damn studio.
I don't burn my recording studio, what are you talking about? Yeah, and he says, no, dude, it's the perfect place. It's Garden Grove's okay with it, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, they're okay with it? Yeah, he's like, and there was some new laws coming and stuff like that. And, so I was like, Let's try this, but I was very conscious about it. But I went to the city and I asked to set up a company called Village Flora, and they're like, what is it? And I was like, it's a flower company,
literally.
It's a flower company. Yeah. And we sell flowers and herbal
supplements
or remedies, right? And they said, okay, well, how would you, how do we, at the time they were like, well, is it,
What
are you talking? What are you trying to say?
Exactly. He does this to me all the time. The other day he got mad at me because I couldn't figure out what he was saying.
Herbal medicines. What's another name for herbal?
Holistic?
Holistic. Is this a holistic company? I said, no, it's more
life's like playing charades with this fucking guy.
No, I said it's more of a dispensary. And they go, okay.
Shut your mouth. You did not say that.
Yeah, no, because that was, we had a whole plan on how
we
were going to talk to
you said it's going to be a dispensary. They're like, okay.
Well, yeah, they didn't know what a dispensary was then. So when I said that, they was like, oh, it's going to be a dispensary for, you know.
For herbals.
For dispensing flowers.
For dispensing herbal medicines, okay. Flowers, and other stuff. So when I did that, it said right on there, it was like dispensary, they gave
put
me
it
the
in
whole,
there.
Yeah, Village Flora, right?
Village Flora Dispensary, y'all. Fuck it, perfect.
Oh, it was amazing. And so we were like, okay, cool. And there was like, you know, Proposition this and 64 that, or all these stuff. It was in, I think, 2004, 2006, I remember. But it was back, you know, quite a ways. And we're sitting there and we're going, you know, we have a dispensary license. Like, and they're like, what? The city didn't know what we had. But so we started to you know, I was the second or third person on Weed Maps ever. You know, it's funny because I call in there and I go, what's your name? I was like, oh, this is Chris Wright. And I go, oh, dude, like, you're like the third person to ever sign up with Weed Maps, dude. And ever. And I was like, really? He's like, how do you know that? And he's like, Village Flora. He's like, we have you here.
And it's on the wall. Like, yeah. Like, a lot of places have.
Like, I'm number three, people, yeah. Bro. Like, I'm one of, let's say, the first five people to ever be on Weed Maps. I'm on there.
Wow. That's dope.
You know what I mean? So you know, and it's funny, though. But so I end up, you know, doing it. And we're sitting there and we go, you know, we have this store, and we didn't realize that, you know, Weed Maps wasn't as popular as it is now, but we were good at promoting and telling people
what was
going on.
It wasn't doing shady shops as much. No,
that's all they were doing,
exactly.
Right? We were all shady.
Started off that way, still doing it that way.
That's all there was.
So I remember, we ended up running Weed Maps. We're on Weed Maps, okay? We run a...
But it was a lot cheaper then, huh?
We run a little marketing. We do a little marketing around town, telling people. We get as many people involved as we can. And we're telling everybody, really. I mean, we're trying to blow it up. We're having a launch, right? So, you know, a launch party or whatever. And so I remember pulling up in the parking lot in the studio, and it was like right here in Garden Grove. I come around the corner, dude, and there's this line, dude, of people. And I'm going, dude, what are all these people here? And I thought, you know what? Sometimes the place, they have a rehearsal studio across the street, and sometimes
so they're doing auditions or
they're
something.
They're doing auditions, you know
right,
what I mean? Because there was a pretty long line out there. And I'm pulling up, and we had a little a friend of ours that was like, he had a security T-shirt on, you know? And so he's standing out there.
I thought you were going to say there. Stuttering problem the way you
really
leaned into it.
No, he had a tan. Shut up, Joe. And so we end up getting there, and I'm looking, and I'm like, dude, who are all these people? And I was kind of nervous because I had, you know, some stuff allegedly in my trunk.
Right.
So I'm pulling up to load the store up, you know, for the first time.
Here's the oh shit! All these people.
And we had this empty little like studio in the front. It was like just a little empty little studio, and the guy had just, you know, kind of left. It was empty there. And I remember, like, we'll keep this door shut. We'll start this little section in here.
Keep the hockey bags over here.
Yeah, no, we were gonna pull them in there, and then have everybody kind of fill in there. And we, you know, and we realized that we get there, and my buddy's just like dancing and prancing back and forth. He's like, "What are we gonna do?" And I'm like, "With what?" He's like, "With all these people." And I'm like, "Who are these people?" And he's like, "Dude, they're here for the dispensary, bro." And I'm like, they're here for the grand opening? Like, where's all the homies at? Well, the homies are on their way. Like, you know, I thought it was going to be friends and, you know, family, people coming by to check us out and, you know, support the movement.
It went, no.
Oh, dude, wow. There was people there like I'd never seen, dude. So I was like, oh, no. So he's like, what are you going to do? And I was like, I need to go get more.
Sell them some weed?
I need to go get more weed. Like, I only brought like a couple pounds. You know, I didn't realize that it was like, it was packed.
It'd be cracking like that,
so
yeah.
we went in there and we're literally filling them, and then we're like, and then I freaked out because I'm like, dude, this is gonna be the trap spot from all, you know, this is way too much attention.
Too easy, too much.
Yeah. And for months, dude, I didn't shut it down right away. What we did is we started to deliver from that point. And we would just do kind of like, you know, we people would still say, oh, is this the dispensary? You should come buy some weed. And I'm like, no, dude, that, you know, you got to order it on. They moved out of here. They were up in here. We're all back here. We're a studio. You know, they moved out. And then we leased out the studio to somebody. And they're like, oh, look, there's a studio here. You know, I mean, it used to be here, but it's gone.
Put a board there and that's it.
Wow. No. So we started to do delivery service, you know, out of the same location. And, you know, I really got to have a beautiful relationship with patients at that point because, you know, back then no one wanted to really be the guy that walked up to someone's house. And back then, you know, I had a bald head, baggy clothes. I had a whole different personality and imaging in my livelihood. I think the whole country did too. But, you know, it was weird because I would ask my friends, hey, you want to go deliver? And the first couple, everybody's like, hell no. And I started doing it, and then people started seeing me do it. And I'm like, yeah, you know, you work for us, you get paid, whatever. And then I get people that were kind of like, okay, ballsy enough to do it. And people started doing it for me, but a lot of times people are like, no, man, I'm getting nervous. Like after 2 weeks of doing it, they were like, I'm cool, dude. You know, I've been to enough houses. I feel like I'm going to get busted. I'm like, okay, cool. So I'd have to do it myself sometimes, you know, or my buddy or whatever. So I started going to houses. And I remember one time I knocked on this door and they're like, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, Village Flora, we're here, you know, and we had little bags. We put them in old school style, you know, a little
brown pill container, right.
You know, with a little sticker on it that just said, you know, medical use only medical and use donations only, the whole nine. And this guy comes in, and this is one of many, but this one, there's two of them that stick out the most, but this one was dear to me, you know, and he says, he goes, come in. And I'm like, oh no, right? The door's cracked. The door's open, it's cracked. And I'm like, no, I'm just here. You just come to the door, right? Because I felt like I'm getting stung. This is a sting. Right. This is what a sting looks like.
Right. Yeah, right. I'm not coming in.
Come in. Come on in.
Just come in. Let me see you
first.
Yeah,
you came in the house and you got wrapped up. So I'm like, no, I'm good, man. He's like, no, I'm over here on the couch. I can't get up. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, nah, man. I said, I don't
mind playing tricks on you.
I'm dancing. I'm over there like, dude, I've got probably 5 or 7 more, you know, containers in the car. I'm, you know, I probably got a bundle of cash on me. I'm stoned. You know, I'm thinking this is not going to be fun, right? So I'm looking in there. I'm like, you know, checking every, you know, corner as I'm passing it by, and I'm like, why am I doing this? You know, I almost walked out and just ran to the car. Like, this guy's not getting nothing. You know, I get to there and there's this guy laying there, and he's like, oh man, dude, I'm so glad you're here. And I'm like, you know, and I looked at him like, I still thought I was getting busted. You know what I mean? He's like an older guy.
He's just laying there possum. Just
imagine a small mark just laying there, dude. You know, not and
that's
not,
an older guy. Yeah, perfect.
No,
yeah.
But I mean, but not that. You know, I mean, you know,
bad shoulder, bad leg.
Just looking. You know, he's laying there and he's like, dude, I can't get up today. I'm sorry, and I got up earlier to crack the door, but I haven't been able to eat and this and that. My medicine's screwing me up, and I'm like, you know, and I'm still like, you know. Giving him, and I was like, where do you want me to put the weed? He's like, if you could do me a favor, bro, and just pack me a bowl. You know, and I'm like, all right, you know what I mean? At this point,
full
I'm
going to
can I take
full
a hit
service.
First?
And then it hit me like, you know what, dude, I'm probably going to get busted. You know what I'm saying? Like, still, so I'm already here. I'm like, you know what? Let's just, that's cool. Like,
ride
it is what
out.
It is.
Charge to the game.
I locked my car.
Right,
you know, I'm getting ready. Like, should I throw my keys on the roof if they try and catch me? You know, like, just.
You're thinking everything.
Everything I could possibly imagine to worry about this. Long story short is, you know, I packed this guy a bowl. Barely, you know, fired up. I'm like, here, dude, let me hold that for you. I'm holding the pipe, lighten the dude up a joint. He's hitting it. And I'm like, he's really, you know,
sick
dude. You're sick. And I'm like, you know, what's going on with you, bro? Like, are you all right? And he's like, man, you know, he's like, I've got, and he freezes, you know, and I'm like, he's like, it's hard for me to breathe. And and I'm like, what's wrong with this dude? He's like, you know what, man, I've got terminal cancer. And I'm going, okay, like, you know, or like, what do you mean? He's like, well, it's in my spine. It's in my, it's throughout my body. It's creeping into my brain. The doctor tells me I don't have this much time. And he's like, the only thing that makes me eat is when I smoke cannabis. And I'm like, dude, and as soon as I hit the bowl with him, I was like, here, hit this, you know, whatever. And I'm like, hey, look, do you want me to feed you something? You know, are you ready to eat? He's like, it takes about 30, 45 minutes for me to eat. So, and he's like, and I literally walked out. I'm walking out the door, though. Remember this part, dude. I'm walking out the door. Forgot even to ask him for money. Didn't even think about it. I was just like, oh, my God. I was kind of in this, like.
In shock,
right? And, you know, and I'm walking out, and he's like, don't forget the money, bro. It's on the counter. And I'm like, huh? And I walk back in, and I look to the left, and I see this little caster, and I'm like, bro, you could keep that, dude. And he was like, what? And I was like, dude, he's like, I don't need the money, bro. I'm, you know, where I'm
going.
Die. Yeah, he's like, I don't need the money where I'm going, bro. Just take it. And I'm like, you know what, man? I said, I'm good, dude. I said, you call us next week, whatever, whenever you need weed, we'll come here and donate to you, dude. So I built a relationship with this dude, man. I started delivering weed. Every time they would be like, oh, I said, let me go take care of this one, you know?
Right.
Because I would see his delivery. That was a few times I missed it. I wasn't there or whatever. But the majority of the time when he came through, you know, I would be there, dude. And his name's Mike, you know, and it's like, and I'd be like, Mike, I'll be right there. You know, I'll be right there, Mike. And if I got the call, oh, this guy named Mike over off of, you know, I don't want to give his address out, but
how much longer did he last?
He, you know what, dude? It was weird because he just stopped calling, bro. And, you know, I wasn't going to just show up to his house, you know what I mean? But, you know, I think I put two and two together. I think for 6 months, maybe a year, I was servicing him. And when he passed, dude, like I could tell, you know what I mean? It was just a dead moment. And I kind of felt like, you know, this emotional, like, yeah. Oh man, dude, this kind of hurts, you know?
Did you ever go back and check the counter?
Well, actually, what I did
6 months
is,
later, yeah, hey, is there still money on that counter?
6 months later, I came back and found him in the house. And no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
No, I just, you know, he just kind of disappeared, man. But, you know, for about 6 months, almost to a year, I was donating to him.
That's dope.
That ended up waking me up though to a more of a humbleness, and I started going to AIDS clinics. I started going to cancer clinics. I started finding more terminal patients. I started to donate more cannabis. It was more of an outreach. It turned into a fight for me, and it became such a bigger movement for me and why I was doing what I did, because you know. And then it all hit me full circle when my dad caught cancer and he died, and then I was like, damn, there's a purpose for
that's
me
right,
being in this industry
stuff, right?
There's such a bigger purpose for me than just to, you know, get high and make money, you know, because for a lot of years it was young, high,
just
make
flip.
Money, music, fun, you know. And then it turned into like this whole like, wow, there's real terminal patients, this is real life, it hurts, you know. So
and you
really
were
helps people.
You were big into the hip-hop game back then, right?
I was, yes, it was. And you know, it was actually working with a lot of different artists, and you know, some of the artists that were in the cannabis industry today that I still worked with, you know.
Who was the big one when you were rapping at the time, when like Imperial Stars was out? Was it Cypress Hill?
Well,
that was
I was
the
with Imperial Assassins back then.
Okay.
So but yes, yeah, so I was actually, I used to sit on Hollywood Boulevard or Sunset Boulevard at the Rainbow Room with Be Real, Dr. K, you know,
yeah,
Dr.
Yeah.
K, who mm-hmm. runs Kush Stock. You know, we all, this was like, you know, and Corrupt back then, Snoop, all those guys, everybody, Big Marv, all the cats that were part of that era, we all sat on at the Rainbow Room and smoked, because it was the only place to let us smoke, like, at the facility.
Right.
So we'd sit out front in their whole, like, open lounge area for food and dine, and then we'd shoot over to the Roxy and the Key Club to watch live events or perform ourselves. And we were getting smoked out every single day with, you know, all these celebrities. And when I look back to look at like all the you know, Baby Bashes to the, I mean, dude, there's every you know, Bam and the Jackass Boys, all the
right.
guys, Steve-O, their parents. I mean, there was so many celebrities that we just kind of like hung out with that I didn't even realize that were, you know.
It was that movement at the time.
You just didn't even know.
Right.
You didn't even know like you were part of that mix.
You didn't even know it was a movement. Just we're just getting high.
Just like-minded.
We were all just
together.
Rapping and stuff, you know. And it was like, yeah, Be Real and Cypress Hill was a bigger act. You know what I mean? Snoop and them were big acts, but it was just kind of like they're here.
We're
with
in
us.
LA. We're at Sunset.
Yeah.
We're hanging out.
You didn't
just chilling.
Yeah.
Well, now all those guys have their brands and their shops and Dr. Green Thumb and
yeah.
all that.
Snoop,
you know?
And everybody else.
You know, speaking of that, you know. You know, we all got a chance to you know, sit with this fantastic guy, Mr. Jim Jones.
With Saucy. You'll hear from him when we get right back. It's Cannabis Talk 101.
Hello and welcome to Cannabis Talk 101. My name is Blue. Alongside of me are the Pop Brothers of Law and the world famous Joe Grande.
Yellow.
And you are now tuned in to the greatest cannabis show in the country.
The world.
Universe.
Oh, welcome to the show, Craig, or at least in my opinion, we're the best one out here today, hanging out with you guys all the way live at the CWCB Expo in downtown Los Angeles. Cannabis Talk 101 in the building, including in the building, Alex Todd, Saucy Farms Extract out of Chatsworth, and of course, the world famous rapper Jim Jones.
Jim Jones.
In the building, of course, they're representing
Jones,
Saucy.
Yes. Love
the brand, love the look, the red, the white, it looks sick right there. It's a very good standout brand. Jim Jones, how did you and Alex Todd come together and create this beautiful chemistry?
A mutual friend of ours, OG Juan Perez, who's one of the bosses over there at Roc Nation.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So, I mean, how did that come, Alex? How was the chemistry there?
Yeah, I mean, it started organically. Just my good friend, OG Juan, go there all the time to his office. We do a lot of jewelry. I was in the jewelry business prior to this, so we were doing a lot of the jewelry for Roc Nation. And
now you're just making more jewels.
Now Jim walked into the building one day, and it just natural fit. We started a new project. We were looking for a brand ambassador, and more than that, Jim just put perfect fit for us, and we're here now.
Fantastic, man.
So, being in the industry right now, Jim, I noticed that you've been an icon in music for so long, and you come over to the cannabis industry. Uh-huh. It's just a second nature for you, correct?
Yeah, I mean, music and weed is like synonymous. They like one and one. You can't have one without the other. I mean, of course, there are a few people that probably don't smoke weed, but that's like going to the tattoo parlor and getting a tattoo from somebody that doesn't have a tattoo. So, you know.
Yeah.
And that's how we feel about the law.
Yeah.
Weed and the law, it's all together.
Yes, it is synonymous, the weed and the law. You're going to bump into it regardless if you're smoking. So, before the show started, I was saying I appreciate the Instagram and how all the information that y'all give us on the gram, because I've been taking a few tips whenever I get pulled over from a
STFU then for Mark and Craig.
You know what STFU means, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah, 100%. You can't search the vehicle at all. I don't want to talk about my personal business today.
Yeah,
discussing my day.
I'm not discussing my day.
You know, I mean, it's a magic word.
Hold on, test
Shut
him, you guys.
Shut the fuck up.
Let's actually test him. Let's test Jim Jones.
Right.
Mark, test him right now. Let's see if he really follows.
Okay, so when the cops first come up, they pull you over, and he's gonna say to you, "Do you know why I pulled you over?"
I'm going to say no.
Good enough.
I'm not discussing my day.
And then he says, "What's that smell?"
I'm going to say, "What smell?"
Good enough.
You're going to say, "I'm not discussing my day."
That's
why
it.
Why don't you do it with that way,
you don't lie. It's the same thing with drinking or anything. You don't want to lie to law enforcement. So the best thing to do, instead of saying, "Oh, I smoked an hour ago," or "I had a drink an hour ago," you're going in for a DUI. If you say, "I'm not discussing my day," what can they do? You don't have to talk to them. You don't have to discuss your day with them. And they usually move on from there, because they're trying to take that ticket and turn it into something more.
100%.
Is what they're trying to do. 100%. And I'm actually glad you brought that up, because we need more artists who have huge followings to let the minorities, the people of color, know that you need to do this. We get a lot of things on our Instagram from people of color saying, "If I say that, I'm going to get my you-know-what kicked, or I'm going to get yanked out of the car." What happened? What's happening is
true, Craig.
It's going to happen. We're not saying what we say is not going to prevent that, but what's going to happen is, if it happens and they pull out a belly club because you said, "I'm not discussing my day,"
and
you're
that's
one rich dude.
Yeah.
Because there's no way they're going to get away with that. It's when you start fiddling your hands and maybe resisting a little tiny bit, that's when you get in trouble.
Well, here, the
problem is the institutionalization of minorities who are afraid to exercise their right because they think they might get beat up. That has to change.
Yeah.
They have to know they can respectfully assert their rights.
Well, the deal is, the cop's going to do what he's going to do no matter what. And you might get that cop who hates everybody, hates the day, or whatever he's going to do. Or you might get the guy who doesn't care and he's going to let you go on your way. But you never know who you're going to get. So at the end of the day, and all these horrible things that happen, we hear the cops being able to say, "I was afraid for my life. That's why I did what I did," and they're getting acquitted and they get away with it. So that's why we're pushing that.
One thing I learned without all technicalities when I get pulled over, I learned to be the most nicest individual I could possibly be at that time.
Respectful. 100%. And what people get confused is, "I'm not discussing my day" is not disrespectful. Talking to them is not disrespectful. You don't have to converse. You just answer their questions if not.
That's generally actually the word I come after when I say I'm not discussing.
But it's funny when Alex,
I know the difference. I'm tatted up. I get pulled over. I'm like, "I'm not discussing my day. I'm not trying to be disrespectful." but I'm not discussing my day. That's like the next words I right. say. And the reason I say that is because I have to, I kind of got to dance around a little bit because, you know.
We have to dance around.
My two
around.
Jewish
Alex
brothers
too.
Right
no.
here.
No. I think the less you talk to police in general,
right. the better. Take the way I dress.
I think that's the last person you want to talk and discuss as least as possible with
you
them.
You don't have to. Yeah, yeah.
It's none of their business. The best thing to do is just shut up.
Jim, tell us a little bit about the product lines, what we're actually looking at, and let's talk about what.
So Saucy is we going to one being one of the best weed businesses in the game. It's a dope brand. We got a bunch of good flower, some of the best flower you could possibly smoke. We got come to the vapes. We got some of the best vapes. The terps are incredible. Anything you could possibly think of going down the line, eventually we'll have inside of the dispensaries. My product is Capo Blunts. That's one of the first products that we'll be putting on the market under my brand, which is under Saucy. The next thing will be a box of Lucy's, which is seven blunts that come in a small box. Looks like a cigarette box.
Nice. What are they rolled with? What type of blunts? What type of paper are they?
The paper is rolled with tea leaves, so because you know you can't sell tobacco roll products inside of the dispensaries legally. So we our alternative is we started rolling up in tea leaves, which gives you a pretty good drag and a pretty good roll. Probably a little bit longer than the actual blunt take to burn inside of the pre-roll, so it's pretty good. I had to taste test it a few times until we got
of
it.
Of course.
Until we
love
got
being
it properly
the tester.
Right.
Yeah.
Jim Jones of food.
Just being able to be in this business, a business that I know I was getting locked up for when I was younger.
Right.
Now being able to be in so many stores and so many dispensaries supporting us. Shouts to Med Man, shouts to everybody on the West Coast that have been buying the Saucy in all the stores. Shouts to everybody at the expo that's here. I'm just glad to be a part of something that I know is going boom.
Sure.
Absolutely. Where's the Saucy name come from? How'd that evolve?
It's Saucy.
That's the guy right there.
All
right,
Alex. Alex, come about.
You know, I think that it just came naturally. We were just the feeling of we wanted a brand to identify with something. So it's not just any name. So we wanted to, when people are smoking it, we wanted them to feel exactly the name, Saucy, and just the whole lifestyle and just the drip and just
the, drip.
The clothes. And just
it's
the
funny,
way
Alex, as you say that, though, dog, it kind of goes hand in hand with your jewelry.
Yeah.
Because your jewelry, I'm sure, is probably Saucy as well, right?
Absolutely.
But hold on. Hold using the same
wait a minute.
Right?
Wait. Somebody needs to explain Saucy to my brother, I think. Can you explain it to
me?
No,
you can explain drip to my brother.
Can you guys explain
I didn't know the
good one.
The drip and the sauce.
Your brother has
yeah,
the drip
and the sauce. Yeah, you got the drip and you got the sauce.
Yes.
We're learning. We're getting educated.
So is it true, though, Alex, you're kind of using the same mentality that you created with your jewelry line?
Yeah, really with the jewelry, it was all about quality for us first. And really being able to provide a top-notch product. So in jewelry, it's all about the quality in terms of the diamonds, whether it's, you know, you have D-color diamonds and you have all different ranges. So it could be look very well, but in reality, you don't have, when you go back to sell things, not worth what you bring back.
Yeah.
So for us, most importantly.
Like my watch right here, I broke earlier today. Thanks for pointing that out, bro.
Yeah, man, I mean, I'm trying to save you.
Get a good watch, man.
So for us, it was all about quality. And then when the marketing aspect was also, we got lucky where we had some good relationships at Roc Nation and some celebrities and kind of brought that aspect to the industry, to the cannabis industry. And just again, for us, the most important thing for me is the quality of the product. And once you have that quality, everything else will trickle down.
Yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
You know, I think it's important to have quality. And a lot of people are going to be fast food in the industry right now. They're going to come in. They're going to come steaming hot with all this, you know, good talk and good fast food. But they don't really have a product that'll stick. And then once you have a brand behind it like Jim and your team with the Nation that shot, you know, you're talking about major players. This is gonna sustain itself. So, you know, did you guys talk about putting out extractions and other products as well? Or is it just gonna be like sauces, actual sauces?
Yeah. I mean, we have right now probably, you know, I'm a little bit biased, but we probably have the best vape pen on the market. It's a full spectrum extraction. It's, it has no distillate.
Let me hit that. Let me find out real quick.
For sure.
There you go.
Chromatography.
We keep all the natural terps inside, all the natural cannabinoids. We don't mix it with any type of cuts or anything else. And our THC percentages are higher than probably, I would say, 99% of all the other companies out there, which right now is, I think a lot of people are focused on THC percentages.
Sure.
But I don't think that's the most important thing in this industry. I think terpene profiles and having that whole entourage effect. And one of the things with the majority of the distillation companies and a majority of the pen companies is you're really just smoking the THC mixed with some artificial flavoring for the most part.
For sure.
So once you start to educate the consumer and actually for him to understand what they're actually smoking in our products, I think that is very key and will be very helpful for them to understand that when you're smoking a regular distillate pen, you're just getting the THC. What we're doing, what we're trying to teach and to educate people is you want to get that whole, the whole entourage effect, all the cannabinoids. You want to try to keep them all in there. And that's why when you smoke sometimes a pen, you'd be like, you know what, the pen, I can't smoke.
To just zigzags or like you said, the tea leaves and running those tea leaves and being able to actually have a good solid product and then have it burn right, you know, because a lot of that matters.
Super important.
Super important. And then getting it out to the consumers and having a healthy relationship.
No, I mean, that's really important because I get handed joints all the time. And 9 times out of 10, I'll go like this and I'll open them up and it'll be like, what is that?
Absolutely.
What is that in there?
And that's why they'll never have you as a customer. So, and even if you do go in there,
you won't retain them.
Exactly.
You might get a one-time shot, but you're not going to be able to hang on to them.
Because it has a nice packaging and it looks beautiful, but at the end of the day, when you try it, it tastes like shit.
Nasty.
Excuse my language.
That's
and,
okay.
You know,
yeah,
I'm not going back to buy it again.
Right there, Alex.
Facts.
You know what the biggest thing that I love about what's going on now within the weed business is we're creating brands, and brands need to be marketed, and now we're able to use the same ideas and marketing strategies that we use inside of the music business and just bring them right over here into the weed business.
Music business, the jewelry business, it's a business model
marketing
now.
You can't have a brand if your marketing ain't pointing. Before weed was legal, there was no marketing strategy behind it.
Let me get a 7,
let me get a half,
straight
let me get
up.
Better yet,
when you were real young, let me get a double finger, let me get four fingers.
Now you got elaborate pitches on the covering, and they got all, so it's
evolved.
Yes.
It's crazy. Evolved amazingly, yes. Man.
Well, we're talking right now to Jim Jones and Alex Todd of Saucy Farms Extract. It's now time to do the high five, gentlemen. We're going to ask you guys 5 questions. Jim Jones, you'll answer first. Alex Todd, you'll answer second. Real simple, be honest. Here we go, the high five with Cannabis Talk 101. Now time to do the high five, gentlemen. We're going to ask you guys 5 questions. Jim Jones, you'll answer first. Alex Todd, you'll answer second. Real simple, be honest. Here we go, the high five with Cannabis Talk 101. How old were you the first time you smoked, and who did you get it from, Jim Jones?
First time I really smoked, I was 15. And I think we got a nickel bag from Mr. B's, the nickel bag. Rolled like 5 big blunts of Philly paper. So,
first time 5 blunts, that's pretty big.
Yes, that's a big nickel that they were selling.
Jamaican Alex dude. Todd, what about you?
15 years old. I either stole it from my big brother or
I know,
or it was one of my friends that try to introduce us to a lot of other drugs too.
I know the feeling.
Nice. All right, question number 2, Jim. What is your favorite way to medicate?
My favorite way to medicate is to roll a nice blunt and burn it.
Yeah. All right, we dig that out.
But
right.
What do you really like to roll it in? What's your go-to?
Well, the favorite thing I like to roll it in right now is backwards. And if I really want to get high, I mix the weed with the saucy, with the vape juice, and lay that down on top the backwards and roll up the weed.
That'll
get
you lit.
And get saucified.
Nice. Saucified.
Saucified. Like Alex,
that.
What about you?
I like to do things a little bit more regular, I would say, a joint.
There you go.
Straight to the joint.
That's Mark and Craig, an old school painter.
I used to smoke only blunts, but now it's
ready.
Only
He's
joints.
We're ready.
I don't smoke pinners.
Yeah. Jim Jones, question number 3. Craziest place you've ever smoked cannabis?
Oh man, I think I've smoked everywhere. Like, I mean, besides probably the courtroom, I probably pretty much
the courtroom.
No, yeah, besides the courtroom, I pretty much smoke where I want to smoke. Restaurants
everywhere. Restaurants pretty crazy. Yeah,
private planes. Yachts,
churches.
Not the church.
No church and no court.
Sorry, that was me. My bad.
Yeah, I pretty much smoked anywhere I've wanted. I've smoked all over the world in countries that you wasn't supposed to smoke in.
Yeah.
So, you know.
That's crazy.
I'm a smoke.
And Alex,
I think now, thinking about it, probably on the way to Moscow in Aeroflot, when you can smoke cigarettes, me and my friend smoked a joint right on the plane.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice.
That's why I love you.
That's ballsy. Yeah. On the plane and right.
Hey, so Jim, real quick though, I smoked in court.
This isn't
but
about
not in
you,
court, Luke. Outside of the court, but in the building.
In the courthouse.
In the courthouse, in the stairwell.
What is your go-to munchie after you get high?
My go-to munchie? I mean, it could be my go-to super high stone would have to be ice cream with Captain Crunch.
Ooh! Ooh! Nice. He loves that one.
That's a good one.
We have a bowl right here. Yeah. Chipwich ice cream, very simple.
Say it again.
What was it?
Chipwich ice cream.
Chipwich.
What's that one?
What is
that?
Ice cream sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
That's with the two cookie, chocolate chip cookie.
Old school regular 50-cent soft joints from the store, definitely.
Oh, man. That's a spot right here by UCLA that only serves ice cream sandwiches. Diddy Reese. You
Diddy
gotta go
Reese.
Check it out.
Diddy Reese.
You know what I'm saying? Go get a little high. Go to Diddy Reese. Go get yourself an ice cream sandwich. Hear
I'm
me now, believe me later.
That.
You'll be on it like phonics, baby. Question number 5. It's the high five right here with Jim Jones and Alex Todd from Saucy Farms Extract. Number 5 of the high five. If you could smoke with anyone, dead or alive, Jim Jones, who would it be?
Tupac.
Woo!
Tupac. Shout out to Pac.
Boy. Tupac, go ahead and rock ya. Alex Todd, what about you?
Biggie Smalls.
Ooh. Biggie.
That's fresh off of yesterday.
You know what's fantastic?
Here's the picture of me and Biggie smoking
that's
right
dope.
Here.
Yesterday we had CJ Wallace on the show, and it was a great honor to have his son here. As Joe just said, you know, he was over at Power 106 with Big Boy's Neighborhood for the life of their biggest career, and he was had a blessing to actually sit with Biggie, and it was his last interview.
Yeah, so we did last interview. But that station was, I was in San Francisco at Wild 94.9, and his last interview was with a show called The Doghouse that we did, which is the interview that Puffy still shows when Puffy did his tour, and he showed the last interview that was with our show. So, Alex, I got a chance to do that. Your dream.
That's dope.
I got a chance to do that.
I can't lie.
Super bucket list.
And it was, I didn't realize what a bucket list it was at the time, but it definitely was great. Well, you guys, Jim Jones, Alex Todd, Saucy Farms Extract, where can people find it at?
We're all over California right now. Medman, RDC, Skunk Masters, from Upcourts to Green Door, Mercy Wellness. We're all over. We're in about 100 stores every day, picking up new stores. So you can find us all over the state. Go to our website, saucyfarms.com. We have a store locator, so you definitely find something close to you.
Well, if you ever want to leave some product here on the stage with us, we're more than welcome to have it.
Yes, sir.
We'll test it.
Yes, sir. We'll have someone bring something through by.
Yeah. It's Cannabis Talk 101. We'll be back after this. Give it up, folks, for Jim Jones and Alex Todd.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to another podcast of Cannabis Talk 101, the world's number one source for everything cannabis, featuring Jim Jones and his new cannabis company, Saucy.